Welcome back in to the Saturday Show. This is, of course, Michelle Bodkin. And on the other side of me is Jake Hatch. And we are very excited to welcome in another special guest, another one of my former Stallions co-workers. He was actually an offensive lineman for BYU back in the day and kind of was one of my sideline buddies during games when the Stallions were a thing. So I want everyone to please welcome in Mr. Tooney Kanuch. How are you, sir?
Yes, sir. I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, no, so happy to have you and kind of talk about your experience with the Stallions and what you're up to now. So, first of all, how did you hear about the Stallions and how did you get involved with that?
I'm pretty sure my agent, she heard about them as I was trying to go from BYU to the NFL. A lot of teams told me that because I was a little bit shorter, around 6'2", 6'3", they wanted me to learn center so that I could come to camp and things like that. So she thought it'd be a good idea for me to do the AAF and learn center and develop there. So that's when Randy, the GM, you know, reached out to me and we did the tryout and everything. It worked out really well. Yeah, well, I loved it. I mean, the Stallions was amazing. It was good to have a pro team here. I know it didn't really work out how we wanted it to, but I think that hopefully one day, maybe Utah will be ready for a pro football team.
Well, and I think that's the hope, Tooney, is that we at some point that pro football will return to Salt Lake City, and I'm with you on that. I know that you're a hometown kid here. As you mentioned, you played at BYU, but I wanted to kind of get some of your thoughts as you reflect on your time in the pro ranks. We'll get to you what you're doing now because I know you do a lot of training here locally and you're kind of training the next generation.
Yeah.
But as you reflect on your time as a professional athlete, what were some of the biggest lessons you learned as a pro athlete?
Man, there's just so many different things. When I was in the AAF, it's hard because in college, you go from being a family, and even though everyone wants to play, mm-hmm. you know, you guys have each other's backs, and you're really there, you know, blood in, blood out, just for the long haul. And as a professional, even though you want to keep those relationships and be really close to people, at the end of the day, you know, you could be cut at any day. Just, you know, any day you could be called in and released. And it's one of those kind of nerve-wracking things, and I think that it's hard to keep those relationships. I was lucky I had guys like Matt Asiata, Tenny Talapoy, and Silver Silinga, and Mike Purcell. Mm-hmm. You know, they were really good to me. They took care of me and my roommate, Handsome. Which is his name. I'm not calling him Handsome.
Handsome Tenny Ailu, yeah.
Yeah. But you know, they were really good at taking care of us and not making us feel that way. But it is a challenging aspect that comes into, you know, pro sports and things like that.
I think one of my favorite things, and you mentioned like all the guys involved with that, right? Is I think the first weekend we were in San Antonio, you guys did a kava circle in someone's room.
Yeah.
And I got invited to the party. It was the first time I've ever done anything like that. And it was just the funniest time. And it was really cool seeing you guys, because I mean, obviously there was a good mixture of BYU guys and Utah guys, and it didn't matter. Like the Pauly blood, I feel like kind of overshadowed anything that was Utah or BYU.
Oh, for sure. That Pauly connection definitely kind of surpasses any of that BYU Utah stuff. But even more than that, all those guys that just named are, you know, from Utah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's being kind of from here and together, we wanted to see each other grow. And you know, I owe those guys so much for just being so good to me and taking care of me. You know, I was a poor college kid coming out of college, didn't have money. So they really looked after us. They didn't make us feel lower than them, even though they're, you know, 7-year NFL vets and things like that. So, yeah, that Pauly connection really meant a lot and did a lot for me.
What does it mean to guys like you, Tooney? As you mentioned, you grew up in the state. You're a Utah guy. You played at BYU. You talk about how it kind of transcends the rivalry. But what does it mean for you to put on for your state, as it were?
It means a lot. I think that it means a lot to all the Utah guys that play. I think a lot of people overlook Utah, and I think that other states don't think Utah has a lot to offer. I think Utah is a very talented state in a lot of areas, especially O-line, D-line. I think we're a hotbed for O-line, D-line. You know, that's kind of becoming more recognized lately, you know, with Spencer Fano, Ed Garcia, with Alabama offers and Clemson LSU offers. So I think that that's kind of becoming more apparent, but I do think that we're very overlooked. So kind of showing that we are talented, that we can keep up with other states and things like that does mean a lot to me. And I know it means a lot to the other boys.
Now, your time with the Stallions was interesting. You didn't actually get to play very much. Like I said, you were kind of one of my sideline buddies, and there were a handful of guys that really – B.J. Daniels was one of them. Johnny Reagan, that was up in Oregon, was one of the guys. Henri Tolliver didn't play a whole lot until the end. Just a bunch of guys that were kind of injured and hurt and weren't able to play. You were one of them. What I remember most is games would start getting stressful and you'd break out. I think it was the juicy fruit. Was it juicy fruit?
You got to stay juicy on the sideline. Got to. Yeah, it's a hard situation. You know, you want to keep that anxiety down. You want to be loose and be ready to have fun. So there's so many different ways that you can do that, but it's hard. I mean, you named a lot of talented people, and everyone wants to play, and it's so hard. You got guys like CJ Potasi, who started on the O-line, and Leka Uhatafe, and, you know, all these guys that played a long time in the NFL. So for young guys coming up, and I think that's what some of these other guys like Silver and Tenney Tamia, you know, got to stay loose on the sideline. It's, you know, some guys like to really be serious, but it's hard because when you're serious, you get nervous and anxious, and, you know, being able to have fun doing what you love to do, it really helps you kind of excel at what you're trying to do. So.
Now, Tooney, you are kind of, as I mentioned, training the next generation of athletes. You're doing stuff. It's Powerhouse Training, if I'm not mistaken, is what the name of your platform is, right?
Yes, sir. Powerhouse Training. We just train out of a new gym now, out of Stroformance. It's a great facility in Pleasant Grove, and I train Monday through Saturday. It's been a huge blessing. Right now, we train over, you know, 200 kids, and I do all ages. We do little kids and high school, college, and now we're doing guys getting ready for pro day. We've had guys come in like Keaton Bills, you know, starting guard for Utah that's getting ready for the NFL now. And, you know, I've trained guys like Spencer Fano since he was like in eighth grade, ninth grade, and that guy's a stud. And Ike Garcia has been with me for a while. It's been a huge blessing to be able to work with all these kids, and Utah really does have a lot to offer. So it's been nice to hopefully help these kids not only get better, but shed some spotlight on them. Cause schools are noticing that they're one, huge, and two, you know, they're really good at what they do and they love to do it.
And then, yeah, I've tracked your work. I follow you on social media and all that you do. And I, funny enough, just a kind of a tidbit, my daughter's cheer team that she is part of is literally next door to Stroformance. So I am often.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's just
so
kind of funny, small world deal. But I've known about I've known Dave for years. My brother's trained at Stroformance back in the day. So it's an incredible platform. But you talk about the fact that you're trying to help get the word out about these young men. How gratifying is that? I'll use the example of Spencer Fano. You said you've been training him since he was in eighth grade. He goes to Utah as a guy, as a true freshman. He's 18 years old, and he starts for the University of Utah game one last season. How gratifying is that for you as a guy who has helped him along the path here?
It is. You know, I've never been one of those rah-rah loud guys or social media guys. I post a lot because of work now, but
sure.
It is very gratifying. I know I should probably brag about the kids more on social media and things like that, but I also don't want to take away that it was them putting in the hard work and things like that, but it's very gratifying. I think that he had a great year and you know, even going to games and seeing some of the players after, I think I went to the Florida game with Utah and I was talking to Spencer after. It's just kind of a good feeling because those guys still remember training. They still come back to training and, you know, I always remind them that the goal's not done. You know, the goal wasn't just to get to college and then, you know, they want to go to the NFL, so they got to keep working. But it feels good for sure.
I think the crazy thing is you're not the only one from here or that has played here at either BYU or Utah that's decided to stay and kind of give back to this state. We've got Rossa Poe, you know, working with pass catchers. Tenny Palapoy is working with his brother and a bunch of former Utah guys. The Congo up a little further north is a bunch of former Utah guys that are kind of, you know, training up the next generation. What's it? Do you ever like talk or interact with some of those other training centers and work together? And even if you don't, like, you know, what's it like just seeing all these guys decide to kind of stay here and give back and impart their knowledge?
Yeah, for sure. I do talk to a lot of them a lot. Ross Oppo was the one that actually got me started. He's the man, Goku's. He really did. He did a lot for me. He kind of laid out the blueprint, showed me what to do and how to do it. And I talked to him a lot to, you know, ask him for advice. But I've talked to Anton and Tenny Palapoy and, you know, love what they're doing. And guys like Lay, who played at Utah. He's not in Utah currently. And then, you know, there's places like Alpha Elite who, you know, we go to a lot of camps together. And a lot of my guys that train with me go and do one-on-ones and train with Will Coffa, Alpha Elite. So it's good. I you know, a lot of times people might think we're doing the same thing. It's competition and yeah, maybe, but there's so much to learn from everyone that a lot of times the players go to, you know, different trainings all of the time. And I encourage that. That's why a lot of my guys go to Alpha, you know, and they look for other things. They try to do lifting and everything you can. I think Max Crosby just kind of released a statement in a podcast. I guess not a statement, but just in a podcast, he's talking about, you know, to be the best, you have to do everything. You have to be the top of your game at everything, every little thing. And I think that means going to all these different trainers and trying this out. There's so much knowledge and the game's changing and evolving. So I think that every trainer has, you know, knowledge that kids need to learn from. But we all want to put on for Utah. So when it comes to these tournaments, I have a big tournament coming up March 16th, big lineman tournament for 9th grade to 12th grade. Little plug in right there. If anyone wants to register, go ahead and hit me up. But, you know, we have Vegas teams. I have Vegas teams coming. I have a couple teams from Idaho. I might have a team from Hawaii and Colorado coming. But, you know, all these kids want to put on for Utah. We want to play these kids from out of state, and we want to show them that we can hang, that, you know, we can bang, we can play. And same thing when fleet travels to out of state, you know, I'm taking some teams that want to go out to these other states and show that we can compete, and Utah has a lot to offer. So I think that we are there for each other, and there's a lot of pride for Utah with all the trainers.
Now, Tooney, you're a BYU alumnus. Obviously, you had a great career playing for the Cougars. So I just want to ask you, that they finished their first year in the Big 12 Conference. What was your evaluation of how things went year one in the Big 12, and what are you looking forward to in the future?
Yeah, I love BYU. I will always love BYU. I love Kalani. Kalani knows I love him so much. I'm very passionate about the game, so I'm not going to talk about the things that I wish would get better and change. I think that you could do that with any program. I'm excited to be in the Big 12. I think that opens up a lot of doors for BYU and its athletes for the NFL as they want to pursue their goals. I hope every year, anytime someone asks me for the season, I'm going to tell everyone, we're going to go to the playoffs. We're going undefeated, yada, yada, you know, die hard like that. I'm going to just say, you know, I don't know. I obviously hope that we do good. But I love BYU. I always stick with the Cougars. I like how big our O-line's getting. You know, Kingsley with his, you know, projection in the NFL, hopefully he does good. But I think BYU's on a good path and track. So a lot of those guys come in as well. You know, Caleb Etienne, he comes and trains. He's a huge tackle. So there's a lot of bright spots on that team that, you know, we'll do good.
I mean, you mentioned that you've had Keen Bills come in and training with you to prepare for Pro Day, the NFL Combine, actually. As things start kind of ramping up towards that more pro end of things, how is a guy like Kian looking? How are maybe some of the other guys that are coming in and getting trained up by you looking?
Yeah, that's a good question. Kian Bills right now is focused on numbers with Pendleton, so he hasn't come into technique training at this portion. He came in before the season, but I think he had an incredible season. I think he wants to get good numbers, and I think he should. I think he's ready for the NFL. I think he's going to be a great interior lineman, whether it's guard or center. I think he's a stud. Right now, I'm working with guys like Jordan Ludui and Ethan Tungy from Weber State, kind of getting ready for pro day, and it's a little bit different. I don't do pro day guys as much. I don't do the older guys as much, but they do come through, and they know that they're welcome to train with me. It gets a little bit hard because you don't want to kill their legs for pro day. They do need the numbers. Even though they want to be ready for camp, they need to have good numbers. They need to show that they're impressive. They need to pass the eye test. And I know that you know, I know how it can be, kind of being almost like cattle being prodded and, you know, auctioned off. In a way, it's a good way. It's a good way for sure. You want to be the prize cattle, but so it's kind of one of those games where you got to find a balance. Because let's take Jordan for example. If he would come in and work every day, yeah, he'd be, you know, he'd get better. But he's also kind of tiring out his legs. His 40 might not be great. His jump might not be great because now I'm taken away from what he needs to be doing with Dave Strohschein, who he's training with for pro day. So it's kind of like a, you know, pick and choose, try to find that balance of when he can come in, when he should really kind of rest and those kinds of things. But with the college guys, we're going hard all year. High school guys are going all hard all year and the little kids, so.
Now,
I hope that answered your question.
Oh, it did, absolutely. And you just need to tell Jordan Pendleton, hey, I need to train with this guy. Get him over here. I know Jordan would send him your way if you needed him to, right?
Hopefully, you know, go Cougs. I'm an open guy. I love everyone. So,
no,
it's been interesting being a Cougar, working with so many kids because, you know, I work with a lot of the colleges here. So even though I love BYU and you know, I never try to sway kids. But it's been amazing working with, you know, Lewis Powell from Utah, who has always been good to me. DJ Tialavera from Utah State, yeah. Tanavera from Weber State. And, you know, I also talked to different coaches at SU and Utah Tech. So it's been a great experience. Kind of one of those that I am diehard BYU, but, you know, I do tend to find myself cheering for some of these other schools that have been so good to me and my boys and offered them and things like that. So it's been interesting.
Now, I'm pretty engrossed in the high school realm. I do call high school games for KSL over here on this side, and I track recruiting, et cetera. I've had some people tell me that annually, every year, the talent base in terms of recruitable athletes coming out of, say, Utah continues to increase. And they say the next couple of years, speaking of essentially the 2025 and 2026 recruiting classes, could be the best yet. I know that you're training with these kids every single day. Is that a correct assessment?
It's kind of hard. I think that Utah's always had this kind of talent. I think that the exposure is kind of rising. I mean, we've always had guys that have been 6'6", 6'7", that are really talented and good. I think yes, in ways. I don't want to kind of take away from the athletes in the past. I think that there have been amazing athletes that have come out of Utah. So I think the talent has been there. I think that as guys like me and all these other names that I named come out of college and NFL and want to help the kids, the talent is going to get better because new technique is developing, new training is coming out, you know, new studies and things like that are coming out to help these kids get better. Kids are understanding schemes better on both defense and offense. They understand their job better, understand the guys across from them better. So, yes, in a way, I do think that it's going to just get better every year because people are coming back and giving back and the exposure in Utah is increasing. So the competitiveness is going to increase, which means the training will increase. So, yes, I hope that I know that's a blurry answer right there. But yes and no. Yes and no.
You mentioned to kind of start things off after experiencing the Stallions, even though it didn't work out, the hope that eventually we maybe can get another pro football team here in some capacity, whether it's a spring league, whether maybe at some point in the future the NFL wants to expand. What do you think Utah, the state of Utah, needs to do as someone that saw spring league up close, but is also currently working with a lot of the up and coming talent?
Matt, we're so good on Twitter at supporting athletes and talking to athletes and keeping up with it. And I think that when I played for the Stallions, we didn't always have the best showing to games. That was hard because I remember we played Orlando and it was like a blizzard, but and we didn't win very many games. I mean, so that I can see why it'd be hard to come, but we didn't get the best showing all the time. And I think that if there is ever even a glimpse of pro teams, I think supporting, even if we don't quite agree with whatever, you know, kind of showing up and showing that there are a lot of supporters. Now, I don't know if, you know, we weren't filling the stands much because of marketing or, you know, because it was more of a, I don't want to call it a developmental league, but that's how I kind of look at it. I think it's a great way for guys to, you know, get time and experience kind of on their way to the NFL or kind of winding down into retirement. But I think showing up and, you know, supporting our teams, I think eventually we will get a chance. And when it does, I hope we fill those stands. I'll be in the stands for sure, or the sidelines.
Sure, absolutely. Well, Tooney, yeah. it was a pleasure to catch up with you. Keep up the good work. We'd love to have you back on the show anytime to talk about what you've got going on, talk recruiting, talk BYU, whatever you got. And thank you for carving out some time for us.
Oh, yeah. Thank you guys so much. You know, everyone out there, go ahead, give me a follow on Instagram, Twitter, whatever you please. You know, names, Tooney Canoes Powerhouse Training. Would love to work with any of you or your kids or your neighbors. And like I said, we have a big tournament March 16th. So I don't want to miss it. I don't charge spectators, even if you guys just want to come watch. It's really crazy. We have like 300 O-line, D-line every year. It gets really physical. It's you know, we have 24/7 sports there. On a lot of other recruiting platforms. So it's really a sight to see. Not biased. I think it is. It's a big event. But thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. We'll do it again soon, all right?
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
There you go, Tooney Kanuch. And he really is kind of training that next crop of talent, especially in the offensive and defensive line ranks.
Yeah, very impressive what he's put together in the last couple of years.
And if you watch his workout thing, like he takes them through their paces. Like, mm-hmm. And we're talking like breaking it down to like the base level. Foot goes here, hand here. If you're looking for really good training, like building kids from the ground up, you can do a lot worse than working with Tooney.
And he's just fun to be around,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, he's hilarious. He was actually really fun. I really do appreciate him taking the time. All right, we will come back on the other side. And by the way, if you missed any of that, we'll get it up on the podcast feed for you. Just search out The Saturday Show. It should pop up wherever you get your podcast. But coming up next, we'll get to 5 minutes of talk about some of the other topics we have not had a chance to touch on quite yet in today's show. It's all coming up next right here on The Saturday Show. Welcome back to The Saturday Show. This is one of the most iconic riffs ever. Now,
a little smoke on the water.
I have barely ever played a guitar in my life, but the one thing I did learn when I played for the short time I did, this right here. Very simple. Very simple.
Yeah, everybody learns that one. Yep.
But yeah, welcome back to The Saturday Show, and of course, Deep Purple, Smoke on the Water. Interesting. I didn't know that when did they switch lead singers? Is that
a long time ago?
Deep Purple's,
yeah.
Like talk about old from like the old school stuff.
Yeah, Rod Evans was their original lead singer. Okay. They had a couple of songs with Rod, but then it's Ian Gillan that everybody knows.
Okay.
At least that's what we called him when he could be Ian Gillan, but I think it's Ian Gillan. That's what we called him when we were kids and growing up. And so you know, he was the Smoke on the Water, that was him, and you know, all of the classic Deep Purple songs was Ian Gillan. So
got it. Well, awesome. All right, well, welcome back to The Saturday Show. All right, Michelle, college football coaches get paid very, very well.
Yes, they do.
Now, Steve Sarkisian has transformed Texas in a pretty short time into being more of what Texas believes they should be.
Yes.
Got him in the college football playoff this year, and he has been handsomely rewarded. Have you seen the new contract he was given?
I saw that it came down the pipeline, but do share.
So his salary is going to essentially double beginning this next season in 2024 to a baseline of $10.3 million. So he is a $10 million coach now.
Okay.
And it will max out in 2030 if it all holds as currently constituted at $10.9 million. Now, obviously there's buyouts involved in the case things go by the way and he gets fired. Or if he, let's suppose he wins a national championship, guess what his agent's going to do? Hey, Texas, you want to keep my boy? Let's reward him some more.
Let's shake you down some more.
Now, he also, in his contract, according to Front Office Sports, his contract to Texas includes access to two cars, access to a private jet, game tickets, pretty standard, and a country club membership.
Because he can't afford all those things with his $10
No, absolutely not. Come on now. No way. Come on now, Michelle. That's
just stupid. What was I thinking?
That's a step too far here. But so yeah, good business to be in if you can get into the college head coaching realm, as it were.
Gosh, even better if you get fired.
Well, yeah, I'd say some of the buyouts. Well, here's the thing: if I'm Jimbo Fisher, I'm not taking a job anytime soon. And by the way, I think Jimbo's wasn't even subject to offset.
Yeah.
I think he's got 70 whatever million dollars. It was just straight up guaranteed. And A&M boosters, being what they are, like, yeah, get out of here. They bring in Mike Elko from Duke, former defensive coordinator. Good luck to him, because they are going to be jumping down his throat pretty quick, it feels like. And he's, by the way, I think only making like $5 million a year.
I was going to say, hope your buyout's strong.
Yeah. Yep. So crazy, crazy stuff all the same. But yeah, it's one of those crazy things. So congratulations to Sark. It's good for him. Also, George Kliavkov's run with the Pac-12 is over.
Shocking.
As if it wasn't already, for all intents and purposes. But they've officially announced they have agreed to part ways. He is going to officially depart February 29th. Mm-hmm. They've announced that they will have a new announcement this coming week about new leadership next week. Now, is it Kirk Schultz from Washington State who steps in as like kind of like dual AD of Washington State / commissioner of the Pac-2 for the time being? TBD, but good job, George.
I mean, we all saw that Pac-12 championship trophy ceremony.
Oh,
God, was that awkward. Like, there was just no reason for him to even be there. So, I mean, this is like the least shocking news ever. I'm glad that we don't have to endure more awkwardness for the March tournament, Pac-12 tournament.
Yeah, and I think that Pac-12 tournament, the championship thing, like the hit, the, like, I can't get out of here fast enough said so much.
Said so much.
He wants nothing to do with it.
Well, and I don't think anyone wants anything to do with him.
And that's the thing, they termed it a mutual separation. I wanted them so badly to be like, yeah, we dumped him. Like, he gone, fired, get out. Like, I know you have to like save face by announcing it's a mutual separation, but it would have been so like poetic justice had they been like, yeah, we fired him. He's out of here.
We're just done.
Now, we'll see where George Kliavkov pops up next as he go back to the entertainment world, TBD, but what a brutal run.
Ugh.
Like, you thought the Pac-12 was in bad shape before he stepped in with Larry Scott doing things. And Kliavkov was was a tough circumstance to step into to begin with. But some of the decisions he made.
There was some pigheadedness there.
Oh.
He got the problem. One of the big problems, as I was told, later on in some of my tire kicking, is he did not have a good grasp of the college football landscape and what was going on, despite having a good feel for the entertainment industry. But while those things go together, like, they're two very different things. And he allowed some people to walk out the door that could have really helped advise him.
And he also retained some of his buddies, like legitimate buddies to be key advisors. Like, no.
Like, he just didn't have anyone really guiding him on the college football aspect of it.
Yeah.
So it just, add that amongst you know, the very, very long list of things and reasons and the who's and the hows and the whys, because there are a lot of guilty parties in all of this. there were a lot of people that played a role in what ultimately transpired here, but he did not help matters.
No, he did not. And you're right. He came from the entertainment, MGM Resorts International, I believe is where he came from. And yes, he understood the entertainment thing. He's helped like launch like Hulu back in the day. So he had an understanding of that stuff. But college football itself
and how it works in that industry is a very different thing.
And yeah, he did not have a good feel for it.
No. And he let a very key person walk out the door because he was unwilling to work with them is what I was told. And they got fed up and they left.
Well.
And it made news, but it kind of went under the radar.
Okay. Well, hey, that happens. You need the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't get along with those people, well, yeah, that's going to cripple. And crippled is what the Pac-12 is right now.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Like, there's some thought that they can rebuild it in some form or fashion, but it's not going to be what it was.
No.
An era gone. Like, and it's, I keep finding myself referring to Power 5 all the time.
I know. It's
no, we got to revamp it. It's Power 4 now. Yeah. So crazy stuff. By the way, sticking kind of Pac-12, a lot of Las Vegas ties. Let's talk about the NFL here for a minute. Las Vegas Raiders quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo has been suspended two games for violating the NFL's performance-enhancing substances policy. And Lloyd Cole, our program director here, he and I, when that news came out, he walked out of his office. He said, "Jake, did you see what happened to Jimmy G?" I'm like, "Yeah, he's been suspended for PED." He's like, "What was he performance enhancing? Because nothing that he did on the field was performance enhancing."
He needs to get his money back. That's what I'm saying.
Did you see the kind of like disclaimer at the end of it that it was like a prescription thing?
Yeah.
So it's like your typical petty NFL. Oh. We're going to pick on someone that like really like in the grand scheme of things doesn't matter. But you beat the snot out of your girlfriend and there's nothing we can really do about that.
The policy violation is said to be related to Garoppolo using a prescribed medication without having a valid therapeutic use exemption from the league, according to sources. So
just petty. That is such a petty thing to come after someone for.
Now, the good news is the Las Vegas Raiders, this is your get-out-of-jail-free card. Because with this violation, his contract guarantees in it are null and void. So they can now cut him. They were already planning on moving on from him.
Yeah.
It just wasn't it, and he hasn't been it. Like, trust me, I'm a 49ers fan. I watched the end of his run there, and there's a reason why they moved on. But nonetheless, he's expected to be released before the fifth day of the new league year when he would earn $11.25 million roster bonus. But yeah, all the other stuff guaranteed outside of that is essentially null and void. He's not appealing the suspension, and he will miss the first two games of the 2024 season when ostensibly he will be holding a clipboard somewhere for some team
somebody
needs a quarterback.
I will tell you this. That someone I know that works inside the Raiders organization told me in the season that Jimmy Garoppolo is a guy I want to have beers with, but I don't want him to be my starting quarterback.
Well, there are a lot of people like that, it feels like, in the world. You like to go out to eat with them, but you do not want them as part of like your...
We're running your stuff.
So, I don't know. Crazy, crazy stuff. The funny thing is about this, under the NFL rules, the suspension is only for the two games. He is eligible, like if he's signed by another team, to go through offseason workouts, training camp, practice, all that stuff. But don't worry, the first 2 weeks of the season, Jimmy, don't you dare put that uniform on. You go sit up in that owner's suite up there and hobnob around, you know? Have the beers that you're talking about with whoever wants to talk to you. Whatever. Way to go, Jimmy G. By the way, this is a good point. He'll be looking for his third team in as many seasons if he is released, having played with the 49ers in 2022, then signed with the Raiders in 2023.
Well.
Good job. Just come on now. Like, what are you doing?
Well, it's the NFL.
I know. You make a very good point. Like, the NFL turns a blind eye to a lot of things that you're like,
Are you going to do something about that?
Thinking back on it, remember when they had all those suspensions for the gambling stuff early on this past season in the NFL?
Yeah.
And it's because guys were betting from the locker room on team premises?
Yeah.
It's like, okay,
You guys are in bed with multiple sports books out here.
Yeah.
The league is just reaping millions of dollars off those sponsorships. But don't you dare, as a player,
yeah,
don't you dare bet from that team locker room.
Yeah. The NFL is very, like I said, they're kind of petty about what they choose to go after and then what they choose to kind of turn a blind eye to. And they almost always get it wrong.
That's the thing. It seems that way. There's no doubt about that. So it's crazy, crazy stuff. By the way, Real Salt Lake, I'm just this real quick, they start their season next Wednesday. Yes, February, we're starting the season. Messi, RSL, I'm pleased to, I guess, reveal that I will be part of the pre-half and post-game shows again this season. So
let's go, Jake Hatch.
Looking forward to that. But MLS is going to have fill-in referees. Because MLS has not been able to come to a deal with the current, what do they call it, the union, the Professional Soccer Referees Association, the PSRA, the union that represents officials working in the MLS, NWSN, USL, has rejected new collective bargaining agreement with the MLS, like whatever, and it needs to be negotiated with the professional referees organization, the referee's employer, which is PRO, which assigns them. So, therefore, Messi and RSL on Wednesday. I know I'm not inserting Miami like I should, but it is the Messi show down there. Is going to have stand-in referees. That's not going to go over well if they make a controversial decision or three.
No, it won't. Actually, might make the product more entertaining.
Who knows? We'll see. But yeah, that's apparently where things stand right now. We'll see how that goes. It'll be interesting to see if these fill-in referees, how they hold up and how much abuse they're going to take from players when they make a poor decision, because these players are going to know, like, oh, you're a fill-in here? Okay, well, bleep you.
Well, or the fans, too. Goodness gracious.
Oh, yeah. No, trust me. It's not going
to
go well.
Good on the real refs for, like, really trying to negotiate something good.
Yeah, so good times, you know. We've had some times where officials have been called to step in, and Inter Miami Real Salt Lake kicks off the MLS season February 21st, and we'll see how it goes. But yeah, we will have that right here on the KSL Sports Zone for you guys in the lead up to that game. All right, so we'll come back on the other side. We'll finish up this edition of the Saturday Show next. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Welcome back to the Saturday Show, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. This is a good one right here too. Jason, you're like,
oh yeah, man.
You've been getting some good ones in there.
Dude, I'm a music guy, man. I love music.
All right. So, Michelle, here's an interesting quote. I literally just saw this come across.
Okay.
This comes from the world of soccer. So, David Moyes coaches in the English Premier League. He's head coach of the West Ham Hammers. They're part of the English Premier League. And he is a guy that was anointed at one point. If anybody knows anything about Manchester United, Sir Alex Ferguson is like a legend. Like, he has Sir put in front of his name by the Queen of England because all the winning he did. Well, David Moyes was like his handpicked successor to be the head coach of Manchester United. It did not go well.
And
ever since then, Manchester United's been looking for a new coach. But he's had a pretty solid run with West Ham and hasn't been as good this year. But he had this quote, and I think this extends out to like almost every sport. I want to get your thought on this. He says this, quote, "Maybe some fans want to change, or maybe we've had managers who excite them more possibly, .. But the one who's sitting here wins more," unquote.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, it's cool seeing sports move towards being such a big money business. But, you know, there's consequences to that.
Yes.
And I think, you know, part of that is it's also become a very throwaway business because everybody's impatient. They don't want to do things the right way. And so, I mean, we see it in the coaching ranks. Mm-hmm. We see it with players. Nobody wants to develop anything. Nobody wants to build anything. Like, it's just instant results, and if there's not instant results, then we clean house and we start over. And you might get lucky and catch lightning in a bottle and you know, have a good season, but I don't know. I just kind of think the times of like solid dynasties, yeah, because you let people just kind of work through stuff and build and get better and build a culture, that's kind of over.
It seems that way. But it just, that's like, it's both like a very bold statement for him to come out and say that, but he's also kind of being factual at the same time.
He's not wrong.
We've had a good run here, all things considered. So you just may want to change, but I win.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you make a really good point, Michelle. It's like, with how much money is invested now, there's part of me that would like to see it like maybe take a step back in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Salaries, TV rights, overall it's only going one way. It's going up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what that demands? Results.
Yep.
And when results don't match expectation levels, guess what happens?
You gone.
Changes. Anyways, I just thought that. I'm like, interesting. But kind of a bold statement all the same. Have you ever watched Welcome to Wrexham?
No.
So it's a TV show built around who's the actor that owns Wrexham? It's Blake Lively's husband.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds and McElhenney from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. They bought a team in Wales.
No kidding.
Yeah. And they have a TV show on FX about this. Is kind of like a documentary of it. So they have already moved up one league under their ownership. Mm-hmm. In the English soccer system, you move up at your promotion and relegation.
Right.
Well, they just won today. They beat Notts County. So Wrexham beat Notts County 1-0, putting Wrexham in position, an automatic promotion position, to make another leap into next season, what will be League One, which would be two divisions below the English Premier League. These guys bought this team for like relative pennies.
Okay, Deadpool.
Well, Ryan's. By the way, did you see Ryan's post at the Super Bowl on Instagram? He was like, they'd done an ad for one. I don't remember which company he's doing it for. And then he also tags, anybody seen my wife? Because Blake's right there on TV, sitting right next to Taylor Swift,
having a great time in the suite.
Yeah. So the bold move that these two have made, investing in a soccer club in Wales, of all places, in England. Wrexham's like the third oldest soccer team in the world.
Wow.
And they bought it, and they've got Wrexham
doing
their thing.
They're doing well.
Like, it's kind of an interesting story to track. It's an interesting show as well, because the early stage of it, I'm way behind. I'm actually only watching the first season of it, and like season three of it now. But season one, these two dudes, you can tell they're totally out of their element doing this. It was almost like on a whim they decided to buy the soccer team, and they're just trying to like figure it out on the
fly.
It's
like real life Ted Lasso.
Oh yeah, no, in many ways it is. They bought the team; they're the owners.
They're the coach, not the coach, but still,
it is interesting. But yeah, Wrexham apparently in position now to make another leap up in the English soccer pyramid.
Isn't it amazing what a cash infusion will do for a team?
Well, sure, and they have like TikTok is like their jersey sponsor and whatnot, and. They have an outsized global presence because of Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney, because of their platform. They have an outsized presence internationally, because this is a League Two. Like, they're in the fourth tier of English soccer, but they have got so many people who are tuned into these guys because of that.
Yeah,
and it changes things. Like, talk about infusion of cash.
Well, who doesn't want to look at Ryan Reynolds?
Well,
so
sure, but.
That's what it was.
It was Deadpool 3. He said, "Hey, we just released the trailer for this. Anybody see my wife?" Because it was kind of funny. But it's like, way to go, way to have some fun, have fun with it along the way. All right, Michelle, any final thoughts from you as we head out the door?
You know, pray for Utah men's basketball.
Well, go to UCLA tomorrow
and check out the women's gymnastics team on Monday with President's Day.
Who do they take on?
UCLA.
Okay. Also, it's
it's the rivalry match. So okay. It should be a good one.
All Bruins all weekend for the Utah Utes.
All Bruins all weekend.
By the way, that Utah beatdown of UCLA in basketball, like, got UCLA going.
I know.
Randomly. So
we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. All right. Well, for Michelle and Jason, I'm Jake. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. This has been the Saturday Show right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.